It's night, dark and cold. I walk in the city alone in the crowd.
Islamic laws.
Every street, every store is filled with colors and smiles as before. I know clouds are hidden behind these faces. Is there anyone who has a sunny heart? I put on my headphones and play the song, which repeats in chanty whisper. I say, why is my heart set on fire when I hear your
بسم الله الرحمن الرحیم. In the name of God, welcome to another edition of the program Islamic Laws on IRIB English Radio. And we would like to actually express our condolences and sorrow and sadness for the martyrdom of, the master of the martyrs, Imam al-Hussein alayhi salam, peace be upon him. We're going to talk about some of the Islamic laws regarding the mourning ceremonies of Imam Hussein, or in commemoration of his martyrdom, and also Arba'in. Well, before that, let's take a listen to a short biography of Ayatollah Khamenei, and we'll be back. Don't go away. A little bit of background about Ayatollah Khamenei. He was born in 1939. When he began his Hawza studies, it took him 5.5 years to finish the Muqaddamat in the Sutuh. The standard time for studying the Muqaddamat in the Sutuh for an Iranian student that is not raised with the Arabic language is about 10 years. At the age of 18, he starts attending Bahthul Kharij. Bahthul Kharij, he starts it in Mashhad under Sayyid Hadi Milani. For 7 years straight, he was in Qom studying under Ayatollah Burujerdi, Imam Khomeini, the son of Ayatollah Ha'ari, who set up the Hawza in Qom, Sheikh Murtada Ha'ari, which was one of the top figures in Qom. Then he went back to Mashhad. For 4 years, he studied Kharij under Ayatollah Milani again. Speaking to some of those who knew Ayatollah Khamenei in Iran, when the issue of the ijtihad of Ayatollah Khamenei came up, they said, "We testify that he was a mujtahid not now, but in 1337, that's in the Iranian calendar, 1337, that's the first year that he started his Bahthul Kharij. He was teaching also. He had classes, he was teaching makasas, some of the advanced classes in the Hawza, he was teaching that. 5 years before the actual movement started by Imam Khomeini, he was a mujtahid according to that testimony. And when the movement of Imam Khomeini began, he was part of it, he was politically active, but he also was involved with his studies, as we said. Up till 1347, he was actively participating in Bahthul Kharij of Ayatollah Milani in Mashhad. And after he became the supreme leader, a little while after that, because he was requested a lot to start Bahthul Kharij, he started Bahthul Kharij and he's teaching. One can very clearly testify that this man is no doubt one of the most just and adil scholars that would not, for any reason, for his children, for his family, for his personal benefit, for any party's benefit, for anything other than Allah, change his view and make a decision to go against what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has said because of something like that. Back to the program Islamic Laws on IRIB English Radio with me, Majad, hosting this program, and Sheikh Javid, our guest speaker.
Sheikh Javid, let's talk about prostration or sajda. You know, some people I've seen the pilgrims when they go to, for example, graves of the great infallibles, like Imam Hussein, for example, and they start prostrating when they see the shrine or when they enter the courtyard of the shrine or the graveyard, prostrate. Would you please talk about this? Is this permissible in terms of Sharia law according to Ayatollah Khamenei's fatwas?
A'udhu billahi min shaitan ar-rajim. Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Well, we all know very well that sajda is exclusively for God, and no one deserves to be, deserves prostration in the sense that we, that God deserves, okay? So, according to all religious authorities, including His Eminence, Grand Ayatollah Khamenei, it's not permissible to prostrate oneself in front of the graves of the infallibles, including the shrine or the tomb of Imam Hussein alayhi salatu wasalam. And of course, those people who go to such places and do sajda, they have no knowledge of the Islamic laws. They have no knowledge or little knowledge about this issue.
Mm-hmm.
And it's very important to inform them, to let them know that such a practice is not permissible according to the religious authorities. And of course, the religious authorities get their verdicts and their rulings from the Quran and the prophetic tradition.
Mm-hmm.
And they do not give a fatwa unless they are certain about it.
Yes.
So we should know that it's not permissible to prostrate ourselves.
When they do it, of course, I know you and I, even our dear audience,
yeah,
would know. They do it out of their courtesy. They don't prostrate to worship.
To worship. And of course, they don't mean to worship.
Yes.
They do it out of respect.
Exactly.
But you should know that, of course, this is exclusively for God.
For God, yes.
For Allah alone. And we cannot prostrate for anyone else,
uh-huh,
even though we mean respect or we mean veneration,
yeah,
or something.
Yes, that's correct. Thank you very much. Shasta, would you talk about, those places where our prayers are shortened? You know, in some places I've heard that prayers need to be shortened, right? You can, or where you cannot shorten your prayer, or you have the choice of
doing
so.
You know, there are four places, according to Supreme Leader Grand Ayatollah Khamenei, where we are free to choose between complete prayers and shortened prayers.
Mm-hmm.
Like Masjid al-Haram is the first important and the most important place where we can choose to offer full prayers or shortened prayers. Although you're a traveler. As
yes.
a traveler, of course, as someone who is not a traveler, as someone who is a resident of the holy city of Mecca,
mm-hmm,
he cannot shorten his prayers.
Yes.
And then it is also permissible for a pilgrim to, for a traveler, to shorten his prayer in Masjid al-Nabi or in the entire city of Medina,
mm-hmm,
in Medina.
Yes,
you are allowed to shorten your prayers or offer full prayers as a traveler.
In the entire city or only the...
In the city, in the entire
prophetic
city.
Prophetic mosque.
Yeah, in the city.
Okay.
Now, when it comes to the third place where you are allowed to choose between shortened and full prayers is Masjid al-Kufa, okay? Of course, there is some controversy about the city of Kufa, because Ayatollah Sistani says that, okay, it is permissible to offer full prayers in the entire city, okay, the city of Kufa.
Mm-hmm.
But that's not the case with Ayatollah Khamenei, as he says that a traveler can choose to offer shortened prayer or full prayers only in the
vicinity
vicinity of the mosque or in the mosque premises,
uh-huh,
and not out of the mosque, not in any other place. Like for example,
so
there
within
are many,
the walls of the mosque.
Yeah, there are many places, very important places in,
right,
in the holy city of Kufa. Like for example, Masjid Salah, which is also a well-known mosque,
mm-hmm,
in Kufa.
Yes,
according to His Eminence Ayatollah Khamenei, it's not permissible to offer full prayers in that mosque.
Mm-hmm.
As a traveler.
Yes. What about the fourth one?
And the fourth one, of course, is the is offering prayers in the holy shrine of Imam Hussein alayhi salatu wasalam. According to His Eminence, Grand Ayatollah Khamenei, of course, it is permissible to shorten our prayers or to offer full prayers within the walls of the tomb or the place where the tomb is on the chamber, and then there are walls around the chamber, and of course one as a pilgrim is allowed to offer full prayers within that structure, within that building, and not in the courtyard, which is of course around the building, because there's a building inside the
mm-hmm.
inside the shrine, and there are walls around the courtyard. The courtyard and the walls around the courtyard are not included. So as a pilgrim, one should shorten. If you are willing to offer your prayers in the holy shrine, you cannot shorten, you cannot offer full prayers in the courtyard of the holy shrine, but rather inside the building, which is close to the chamber.
Okay, thank you very much for your nice answer. Let's take a short break and we'll be back to our program, Islamic Laws on IRIB English Radio. Don't go away.
Stars, your eyes pull me to you, who are you? I walk in the day with millions of angels. I see you in all these faces, who are you? One step I fade away, the next step I'm born again. You're flowing. To me, desire, drink some water. Desire.
Back to the program, Islamic Laws on IRIB English Radio, with me, Marjad, hosting this program, and Sheikh Javid, our guest speaker, still in the program. We are talking about, some of the rules regarding the commemoration of, Imam al-Hussein's martyrdom anniversary and Arba'in around this time and this special occasion Sheikh Javid, let me ask you this question, because this is also a very frequently reported question, and that's about the ghusl. A lot of people, pilgrims, in fact, they resort to a kind of ablution for visitation.
Sure.
So they perform ablution, a ghusl, for their visitation or before they do it, and they perform this ghusl. And let me ask you this, if this, ghusl or ablution is, first of all, recommended or not, and then if so, then can it count as a kind of wudu too, or not?
Well, ghusl, according to Ayatollah Khamenei, is recommended, and it does not make any difference, and it does not differ from any other recommended ghusl.
Right.
So, as per his fatwa, of course, recommended ghusl is not sufficient for wudu, and it's necessary for a pilgrim or for whatever, for any individual who
yes.
who performs a recommended ghusl to make wudu. So wudu is required.
Right.
But of course there are some scholars and some religious authorities who is of the view that recommended ghusl is sufficient for wudu. But he is of the view that ghusl ziyara, or ghusl which is performed before the visitation of a shrine, has not been proved to be recommended. And so he doubts or he suspects that it is recommended, because in his view, such a ghusl does not seem to be recommended. Mm-hmm. It has not been proved to him, because there is little evidence to indicate that such a ghusl is actually recommended.
Mm-hmm.
And therefore, as per his fatwa, it is necessary to make wudu also, because otherwise, according to his opinion, every mustahab ghusl that is proven to be recommended is sufficient for wudu.
I see. Thank you very much, Sheikh Javid, for your nice answers and enlightening us with the answers from the religious authority, from Ayatollah Khamenei's fatwas and religious laws or Islamic laws regarding such a special days. So thank you very much, my dear listeners and audience, for listening to the program Islamic Laws on IRIB English Radio. We bid you farewell, and please keep us in your du'as and prayers. Thank you very much. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah wa barakatuh.
Every breath that you did take, every step that you would make, purpose and guidance it gave, mankind's heart it reawaked. Many people did leave the first teachings received, Hussein plan to retrieve, loss of faith he perceived. Many people did leave the first teachings received, Hussein plan to retrieve, loss of faith he perceived. Guide, you would be in place of Rasul to restore the sacred bridge. Light, you would radiate in the dark and continue the message. When you passed through arid sand, met foreigners of new land.